and welcome to another Cup of Joe podcast on this Friday, August the 16th. And wherever you are, whenever you are listening to this, I wish you God's grace. I wish you God's life. I wish you God's goodness today. We are going to continue listening and hearing from Jesus' Bread of Life discourse. And that's John chapter 6. This will be the fourth week in a row that we have heard from it. We are going to hear from it one more week next week as well. It is basically all John chapter 6, and as I've said before, it is where the author of John's Gospel places his Eucharistic theology. It is much more in-depth than the Synoptic Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, who place it at the Last Supper only. John also places it at the Last Supper, but in a very different way. But basically, the author of John's Gospel takes all of chapter 6 to unwind it to uncover it, to look at its depths and to grab it with both hands. So we're going to continue to do that today. I mean, really long and short of what I'm saying. And it's going to sound an awful lot like we've heard before. But there is one particular line in here that is new and very important. Okay, so here's what we're going to do, as usual. We're going to hear the first reading. It is from the book of Proverbs, chapter 9, verses 1 to 6. We're also going to contrast that with a later chapter 9 verse, a few verses in Proverbs as well. But we're going to hear from Proverbs 9, 1 to 6. Then we're going to go to the gospel again. You know it's John chapter 6. Today we'll hear verses 51 to 58. All right? For those who like to read along with as we hear the word of God. So again, however, my friends, you prepare yourself to hear and open yourself to the word of God. I invite you to do that at this time. And let's break open and share God's word together. A reading from the book of Proverbs. Wisdom has built her house. She has set up her seven columns. She has dressed her meat, mixed her wine. Yes, she has spread her table. She has sent out her maidens. She calls from the heights out over the city. Let whoever is simple turn in here. To the one who lacks understanding, she says, come, eat of my food, and drink of the wine I have mixed. Forsake foolishness that you may live. Advance in the way of understanding. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Again, that if there was a idea that popped out to you, if there was an image, if there was some thought that came, I invite you to sit with that. Let the Word of God, let the Spirit of God invite you into a new and deeper understanding, whatever that looks like. And just let the Spirit help you ponder and chew on that, okay? Far more important than anything I'm going to say. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to the crowds, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. The Jews quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus said to them, amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them on the last day. For my flesh is true food, my blood is true drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in them, just as the living Father sent me, and I have life because of the Father. So also the one who feeds on me will have life because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Unlike your ancestors who ate and still died, whoever eats this bread will live forever. My friends, the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So, again, a lot of what we just heard in the gospel reading, right, sounded a lot like what we've heard before. Okay? In fact, this gospel, and I'm telling you, I don't remember the gospels doing this often. In fact, I can't point to any other one that does this. The gospel today actually starts with the same verse that we heard last week. So, verse 58 was the end of last week's gospel, and it starts this week with the same one. That's kind of weird. We usually don't do that. It's where he says, listen, I'm the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. That is what we ended up with last week. But what we hear that is different this week, and so the good news is, remember last week, they didn't get caught up in the image of the bread. They got caught up in the image that he came down from heaven. And how can that be? Because he's Joseph and Mary's son, and we know that, and this is weird. You know, at least now they're moving from that idea that he came down from heaven to the bread imagery. And they're like, okay, how can we eat his blood? Or how can this man give us his flesh to eat? That doesn't make sense to us. Okay, and that's the metaphor that Jesus, I don't even want to use the word metaphor. That's the crux of what Jesus is inviting them to the very intersection to say, hey, do you hear what I'm saying? You know, let's look at this. And then what I said is, you know, a lot of this sounds very similar, but this is new. You know, he's talked about before, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them on the last day. He's said that before. He said it in different ways. But here he says, after he says that, for my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Basically saying, I'm not just speaking metaphorically. I'm not just speaking in imagery, and I'm not just speaking in allegory or story form. I am saying this is a reality. My flesh is real food. It's true food. This is something. And my blood is true drink. It's real drink. Okay? This is important because it's going to point to our reading next week. I'll leave next week's there. But I trust me, when we read next week, I'm going to point back to that line. He's not just speaking in imagery here. He's not just speaking in metaphor. Okay? But that may not make sense to us. But you know what, brothers and sisters? It doesn't need to make sense to us. It doesn't need to. But nonetheless, it's a reality into which we're invited. All right. I'm going to come back to that, but let's jump to the first reading, which is Proverbs. Okay, the writer of Proverbs, some people think that's Solomon, maybe Solomon wrote some of it. Certainly there were, I suspect, more than one writer. But the writer of Proverbs does this wonderful juxtaposition in chapter 9. It talks about wisdom, and then it talks about what wisdom does not look like. And I'm going to share that in a moment. But here today, we hear what wisdom does look like. Now, remember, wisdom in sacred scripture, in the Hebrew scriptures, often is called Sophia and is presented to us in the feminine voice. And so when we hear wisdom has built her house, she has set up her seven columns. As Christians, we look upon that and say that is the Spirit of Christ, and it is looked at as a she. The Holy Spirit, in a sense, is a she, all right? And so that's the imagery we're invited to here. So, okay, let's talk about what this she looks like in Scripture, in the Hebrew Scriptures, in Proverbs. Wisdom has built her house. She has set up her seven columns. Okay, so wisdom has built her house. What does that house look like? She has dressed her meat, fixed her, mixed her wine, spread her table. So this is the banquet to which we're invited. She has sent out her maidens now, kind of like Jesus does the imagery of the king, right, who sets the banquet, sends out his servants to the highways and byways, the hedgerows, and says, come in, everybody, and partake of the banquet. Wisdom is sending out her maidens and calls out to the heights over the city, let whoever is simple turn in here. To the one who lacks understanding, she says, come, eat of my food and drink the wine that I have mixed. Forsake foolishness that you may live and advance in the way of understanding. There are really only two things that Sophia, that the maidens of wisdom are inviting us to. Are you simple? Are you simple? And do you realize that you lack understanding and desire to move away from the way of foolishness that we live and to live in understanding? If you are of those two qualities, or you desire those two qualities, come in. Eat of her table, she says. Okay? Do you see how this goes with the gospel? Unbelievably so. Unbelievably so. But before we get there, I want to contrast it with the writer of Proverbs later in chapter 9. So that was verses 1 to 6, right? What wisdom looks like. Verses 13 to 18, listen to this in contrast. And this is how it starts. Woman folly, okay? So not wisdom, woman folly. So this is what folly looks like. Woman folly is raucous, utterly foolish. She knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house upon a seat on the city heights, calling to passersby as they go on their way straight ahead. Let those who are naive turn in here. To those who lack sense, I say, stolen water is sweet, and bread taken secretly is pleasing. Little do they know that the shades are there, that her guests are in the depths of Sheol, meaning the depths of the underworld. And the shades, I don't know if that means like the shadows, I would say ghosts, but I'm not looking for that term. The spirits of Sheol, the shades are there. Okay, woman folly is raucous. Remember, the two things that wisdom says, listen, if you're this way, come, eat of my table. I can help. Simplicity and desire for understanding. But woman folly is utterly foolish, is raucous, is not simple, is the opposite. She knows nothing. She says, listen, come. She sits at her door and invites these passersby who are trying to move straight ahead on the straight and narrow and says, take a detour in here, for stolen water is sweet and bread taken secretly is pleasing. But that is the way to Sheol, to let our very spirit, our very beings go, and we become a hollowed out image of ourselves, should we take that route. Brothers and sisters, we are invited to be women and men who are simplistic. But simplistic in our culture doesn't really, it's not honored, right? It's not maybe even respected. It's certainly not sought after. Because if we are simple, we're not going to make our way to the top. If we're simple, we're not going to be heard. If we're simple, we're not going to catch the eye of that person we're trying to catch their eye. If we're simple, we're not going to get that raise. If we're simple, we're not going to be seen as complex and of depth. And if we say that we're foolish, I mean, how foolish would that be? These are not values that our culture grasps onto and gravitates toward. But wisdom is not raucous. It is not utterly foolish. It does not keep things in secret or in hiding or invite us to keep the same. Because if we have to keep something in secret, there's shame or guilt attached to that. Our God, in God's utter goodness and transparency, says, listen, do you seek understanding further than where you are? Turn in here. Are you simple in the sense that you have not figured it all out? Turn in here. And this is where we go back to that wonderful gospel reading where Jesus says, listen, this is the way. Feed on me. Brothers and sisters, here's what we know. That we know without food, we perish. There can be, no better sign and symbol, no better reality, capital R, that our God can give to us through the Mass than food, right? Than the Eucharist. Because it must be, just as in reality, we need to eat food to stay alive physically, we need to feed on our God in order to stay alive spiritually. And Jesus himself points that to us, points the way. He says to us right after, he says, listen, my flesh is really food here. I'm not just speaking in metaphor, and my blood is real drink. I'm not just speaking in metaphor. He says, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. Just, and this is the image I want us to remember, because this is where Jesus is pointing. Just as the living Father sent me, and I have life because of the Father, meaning I feed on the Father, and that's my life. Just as the Father sent me, and I have life because of the Father, so also the one who feeds on me will have life because of me. He's saying, listen, look at what I do. I feed on God, and therefore that is who I am. Just like that, I want you all to feed on me so you are one with me. Brothers and sisters, we are invited to turn in here and to say, I don't know that I get it. I don't have a full understanding of Eucharist. I've been talking here for 18 minutes, and I'm telling you, I don't fully get it. And I never will. And you, it's okay that you won't either. And for us to say, we lack understanding, Lord, but I want to turn in because I want a more full understanding. Whether that's an understanding in my head or an understanding within me, in my very being, at a level of the heart, that union, that I want to be one with you, Lord Jesus, just like you are one with the Father. And somehow you have invited me to this meal because that's where it happens. And brothers and sisters, that indeed is where it happens. It doesn't have to happen in our mind to understand it fully. All we know is Jesus at the Last Supper in Matthew, Mark, and Luke took this and said, take and eat. This is my body. Take and drink. This is my blood. And in John's gospel, he says, listen, we're not speaking metaphorically. We're speaking in reality. This is going to help us be one with our God. And not just help us, it is what we need. All we need to do is be simple enough to say, I need this, and turn in and partake of the banquet that wisdom has set up for us, the Spirit of Christ. Brothers and sisters, and this is an important part too, I want to say. You know, the Eucharist, every one of us have been at Mass, right? We've seen the hosts before they go up, when we've carried the gifts up, or before Mass or whatever. And then after the consecration, when the priest holds it up or gives it to us, when we are, whether it's the priest, deacon, or Eucharistic minister that give it to us during communion, it looks the exact same. But we trust at some level it's not. It's not. It has changed inalterably. It has changed at a level that maybe we cannot see or sense, but we know. Brothers and sisters, we may look at ourselves before we go to Mass, and we may look at ourselves in the mirror after we go to Mass, and we will look exactly the same. And we may doubt the same way we doubt. Did this Eucharist really change? But we have been changed inalterably. We have been changed at a foundational level, that we are united with our God. We don't need to figure it out on a level of the head. We simply say, Lord, I'm going to trust your words. And that's my yes. I'm going to trust your Spirit of wisdom will take me where I need to go when I need to go there. Last thing I'll say, brothers and sisters, the Eucharist is primarily, and I will stand on this, is primarily, first and foremost, about transformation. It is only secondarily about adoration. I want to say that again. The Eucharist, first and foremost, is about transformation, and only secondarily about adoration. Itself, I mean, it's the reason it is the most unbelievable gift, is even though it doesn't look like it is transformed on the altar, it is. And even though we do not look like we are transformed, we are. And brothers and sisters, we are transformed so we may be this body of Christ, right? Be this Eucharist to go forward and help transform the world, to build the body and the kingdom of Christ in the world. It is not solely so we can feel close to our God and saved and think, oh, how wonderful, God and I are tight. It is about me being transformed in order to continue that process of transformation. That is what Eucharist is all about, that we may participate with our God in the creation of the kingdom. It is God's doing, but God needs hands and feet, and that is what we say yes to, and amen. We don't have to understand. All we need to do is be simple enough to say, I need, I lack. And this banquet that we partake of every time we go up and bow and say amen, that is the food of which we need to feast. Let's pray. I know we prayed this mystery last week, but I think it just makes sense to pray it again this week. So let's pray in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The fifth luminous mystery, the institution of the Eucharist. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. O my Jesus, forgive us our sins, save us from the fires of hell. Lead all souls to heaven, especially those in most need of thy mercy. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. My friends, bless you again. Thanks for being with me today. May your week ahead be filled with every good blessing. Be well, and God's peace.